my wonderful Lord. That's really what my sermon is about this morning. We are in a series of messages from the heart of Jesus and about Jesus. And this morning I want to invite you back to listen to the words of Jesus. We've been hearing some of the parables and some of the amazing things that Jesus says to us. And this morning I want to come back to the depth of Jesus and why he's so important for us to listen to. What is it about Jesus that so absolutely is full of truth and insight into the human condition? No other person in the history of the world has had such impact or the ability to change hearts as Jesus is. And this morning I want us to continue to look at him. He helps us to understand the heart of God, and he understands to help us to understand the heart of man. When we hear what Jesus says, he helps us to sort out who we are and what's going on in our lives. And this morning I want to say to you, as we read some of his words in the Gospels, I just want to invite you to say, God, whatever you want to say to me about Jesus, I'm open today. I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me to hear your voice. This morning especially, I want to focus on a phrase that Jesus said over 100 times that are recorded in the Gospels. If I would ask you what phrase or what word did Jesus use the most, I believe it would be real close between two things, and this is one of them, one I want to focus on today. And you might think when I tell you what it is, oh wow, well, what's the big deal about that? But I want this morning for you to think about the phrase, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Jesus used that 100 times to describe something. He used it 100 times or so to describe the way of thinking that God wants for our lives and the way that God wants us to look at our lives, at our priorities, at our relationships, at our attitudes, the kingdom of God. When I think of a kingdom, what comes to my mind right off the bat is a throne. And somebody that's dressed in real royal robes and a crown and a scepter, or I might think of armies, I might think of conquering and nations and borders and all those things that we think of as kings and queens and royalty and all that. But when Jesus talked about his kingdom, it was a lot different. Jesus didn't talk about a kingdom of being loud and being boisterous and being in control and telling everybody what to do. Jesus talked about a kingdom of humility and teachability. Jesus' kingdom is very different, and he calls every one of us to be a part of his kingdom and to respond to him. Jesus teaches us that there's an unseen power at work in our world and in our lives if we accept that, that help us to understand the heart of God. The truth of God being lived out every day, day by day, in the lives of his people. You think of the Lord's Prayer. All of us have heard that before, but think of how the Lord's Prayer begins. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you realize that Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom would come to us? I mean, when I pray, "Your kingdom come," I'm not saying just "Your kingdom come to those people out there." "Your kingdom come to the church," "Your kingdom come to my brother or my sister," but "Your kingdom come to me." And there's a way that Jesus wants everyone us to understand that we have the opportunity and the privilege to experience the kingdom of God, to experience something that Jesus described in the kingdom of God that helps us to know the heart of God. I want to invite you to hear the words of Jesus about the kingdom of God this morning, to learn about and to hear about what Jesus said when he said, "Thy kingdom come." Jesus did say at the beginning of his ministry, recorded in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near." And ever since then, the kingdom of God is near and available for those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was bringing into the world something new and life-changing, a new perspective. Another way to say it is the kingdom of God is about worldview. It's how you see the world. It's how you see cultures. It's how you see history. It's how you see revelation. It's how you see God's authority. The kingdom of God teaches us about all those things. It is a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking the way that God does. It's the way of believing. It's an important part of faith. the kingdom of God is about what your faith is and what it does for you. Is your faith just something that's cognitive and up in your mind, or is your faith make a difference in your life, in the issues in your life, and the problems that you have? God wants the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God to inform everything in your life and help you in the areas of your life where you're weak and help you in every way to live. It's how we see life. It's how we hear an infinite God. How is it that this mighty, infinite, eternal, everlasting God can relate to us, mortal people, humans? How can an infinite God do that? Well, the kingdom of God is kind of God's way of intersecting us. The kingdom of God is kind of that unseen, I don't know what you would call it, bubble. That's not the right word, but between man and God. And God gives us this truth in the kingdom of God through Jesus and teaching, and it helps us to understand the heart of God. Jesus came to bridge the place or bridge the gap and connect us to the heart of God. I think of the Old Testament, I think of the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites to help them to live better lives. It wasn't to restrict them so that they couldn't have any fun or they wouldn't enjoy life. It was just the opposite. It was because of His great love that He gave them the Ten Commandments, because when they followed the Ten Commandments, they lived in harmony with God and man. And in the same way, the kingdom of God is like that. When we hear the words of Jesus and we embrace them in our hearts, and we're changed by them and challenged by them, and we don't just dismiss them because, well, as somebody 2,000 years ago, when we take Jesus' words into our hearts, He can change us on the inside. It's like I said a couple of months ago when I preached about looking at the log in your brother's eye instead of the splinter in your own eye, or the splinter in your brother's eye, I should say, instead of the log in your own eye. Jesus says something deep to me about that. When I read that story, everything Jesus said in His parables and His stories says something deep to the heart of man. Every one of them has something to say to us that God wants to say to me and to you. That's what Jesus was speaking about. Over and over again, He uses that phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like. And then He tells a story, amazing stories and parables that Jesus told, found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I've told people before, if you're not too familiar with the Bible, but you're wondering who Jesus is, who exactly is this Jesus that people talk about? And the best thing to do is to open up your Bible. One of the good things to do is open up your Bible and just read the parables. Matthew has 24 parables in it. Luke has 29 parables. They have the most. If you just take Luke's gospel and you read through Luke and you read through the parables, you'll find the heart of God about almost every area of life. He touches on what I just think of is just about every principle of life is covered by something in a parable of Jesus, the insight that Jesus had into the heart of man and the needs that we have. I'd encourage you, if maybe you're a new Christian or maybe you're here today and you've not really taken the step of making Jesus Lord in your life and you wonder who Jesus is and can He speak to your life, I'd encourage you to open, find a Bible, find a list of the parables, and just read the parables of Jesus. They're deep and they're real and they're meaningful and they're insightful, and God can use them to change your heart and your life. God can find something in your heart and your life, and He can touch you through the parables of Jesus. They are so powerful. Jesus uses that term, as I said, over 100 times in the four Gospels to describe something that God wants you to learn, God wants me to learn. If you read the four Gospels, they can speak to our heart. Let me just name some of the things that Jesus said about the kingdom of God. Like I said, there's nearly 100, and I'm going to read a few of them this morning. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. And He would say that later to the people that were there. The kingdom of God is near. Some of you, it's real close to. Some of you, you're not quite there yet. You don't quite understand what it's like to listen to the kingdom of God, but He says it's near to you. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God has been given to you. The kingdom of God is a gift, just like the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments were the Israelites. They didn't always understand that. They didn't always respond to it. They didn't understand for what it was. It was a loving gift of God to help them to live good lives. They didn't understand. It's the same way with us. It's the same way with us in the words of Jesus in the kingdom of God. God gives us that truth, those truths, to help us to live a good life. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus kind of says more about the kingdom of God. He says that the kingdom of God is within you. It's already there. If you're a believer this morning, the kingdom of God is right there within you, and all you have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when we become a believer, God puts His Holy Spirit in us. And in that Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us and helps us to hear the heart of God. And the kingdom of God is in you. He said to His disciples, don't look outside, don't look somewhere else. Look within to the Holy Spirit. Call out to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, take the words off this page. Take these things that are in the book and show me and tell me and help me to hear your heart. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to hear the heart of God. We're also told that there's a certain way that we're to come to the kingdom of God. And we're told that we're to come as a child. Unless you become like a little child, Jesus said, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is one of those simple truths about whether or not you'll ever hear God's voice in your life. Are you willing to come like a little child? Are you willing to come like someone who has a simple faith, who's willing to say, God, I'm going to put down everything I know. I'm going to put down everything I'm sure of. And I'm going to say, God, you teach me. One thing about a little child, how precious they are, how teachable they are. Every day they're learning, enjoying Jack and Wendy so much. And every time we have them, they're learning something different. They're doing something else. Now Wendy's starting to fall forward and try to crawl. We said by Thanksgiving she'll be crawling all over, we know. But you know, every day they're learning something different. Every day Jack says something a little different, something funny, something they wish we'd write down or we're going to forget, you know. You know, it's the same way that God wants for you. He wants you to have that kind of childlike faith so that when Jesus speaks, your heart saying, God, print it on my heart, print it on my spirit. Help me to hear it. Help me not to be so sure of myself that I cannot be challenged by the Holy Spirit about the simple things of life spiritually. Sometimes as Christians, we get a little too hard, we get a little too settled, we get a little too confident, we get a little bit too sure of ourselves, and we miss the blessing of a mighty, powerful Holy Spirit that wants to come and speak to our hearts because we don't learn like little children. I want to say today, and Jesus said this, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. Whether you're 6 years old or you're 16 or you're 36 or you're 56 or you're 86, it really doesn't matter. It's true for every single one of us. We must become like little children. We also know that Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you are born again, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Here's something else about the kingdom of God. You've got to enter it as a child. You've got to enter it through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in John chapter 3, we hear the words that you've probably heard. Billy Graham and others have kind of focused on this term, born again. Born again means change. It means something different. It means something new. It means that you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins. That's how you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You open your heart by faith. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. There's nothing you can do to make up for the decision or choice to believe that Jesus died for your sin. To believe that God sent Jesus, His only Son, to die for your sin. And there must be a place in your life when you take the step of faith and say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I ask you to forgive me for my sins and to come into my heart and life. And that's when we enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you repent, unless you're born again, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to know that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is simple. It's really not that complicated. It's opening your heart to faith. Faith is always a choice. Faith is a choice that God gives every single person to choose whether or not they will believe God and they will listen to His truth, or they're going to hold on to what they think they know already. I want to ask you to listen to a story in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Listen to two short stories, two of the shortest parables that Jesus told. Listen to what it says about having a teachable spirit, a spirit that's able to grow. Chapter 4, verse 26 says, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, Jesus said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. We're told in this parable, in these two parables, that God is at work. We might not see how, we might not know when, we might not understand God's timing, but God is aware of our lives. He's aware of where we're at. He's aware of whether we are way back here and we have messed things up and we're in a total disaster, or we've made some progress in following and serving Him and living in the kingdom. God knows our growth. He knows our failures. He knows our successes. He knows the direction we're going. He knows what our impediments are. He knows what our tendencies are. He knows what our failures are. He knows everything about us. These parables assure us that God is at work in our lives. God's part is the seed. God's part is that amazing, powerful mustard seed. And it just takes a little bit of it to make a difference in our lives. Jesus compares the mustard seed to our faith, and He says if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, if you just have that much faith, God can work with that. The truth is, if you turn your heart to God and your spirit to God and your humility to God, God can work in the tiniest part of your heart and your life to change you and help you and do what you need to have done in your life. God can help you to do that. God can take your worst failures and turn them around if you give Him the grain of mustard seed in your life. If you hold on to that mustard seed and you keep it in your pocket and you refuse to give that to God, God won't do it. God will not change your heart and your life. God will not force you to believe in Him. God will not force you to accept His forgiveness of sins. God will not force you to have faith in Him. But if you give Him your mustard seed, if you give Him your faith, the Bible says that God can do something amazing with it. And He says in this parable, God can do something amazing. It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you pick in the ground. You plant in the ground, and yet it becomes the largest of all garden plants. That would have been the plant that Jesus had walked the streets and the towns of Galilee, and He would see the plants that were there and the mustard seed and how small it was. And yet as a garden plant, it became that big. And Jesus says that's what it's like when you give God the mustard seeds in your life. When you give God what you have, God can make that grow and do something very amazing. Growth is so important. In fact, a lot of the parables are about growth and that Jesus talks about. The single most thing that Jesus talks about in the kingdom of heaven and those 100 and some things that He talks about is about growing as a believer. How can you grow stronger as a Christian? That's the question. How can my faith grow bigger? How can it make a difference in my life? I want to name four things that are important to your growth in the kingdom of God. If you want to be a Christian today, if you want to serve God, four words, four things that I want to give you and say to you, you need in your life in order to be a strong Christian. Number one is your growth needs to be steady. It needs to be steady. We have to understand that we don't get close to God and grow to maturity in sudden great big steps. That's not the way it happens. Growth is one millimeter or smaller at a time. I mean, we understand that from watching corn grow, you know. I have farmers all around me just about, you know. I have fields on both sides and, you know, we have corn and things like that. You know, that corn just doesn't get a foot high on one day. Although after it rains in July, it can go up pretty good. But you know, it grows just a tiny bit at a time. And that is so true how it is spiritually. You will grow a little bit at a time, and God's plan is that you grow steady. God's plan is that you pay attention to that growth and that you grow, and it's continuous. I guess the key there is that it's continuous. It says in the first parable, night and day, you kind of get the picture, a man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or he gets up. No matter what you do, God wants your orientation, your focus, your antenna to be on God's Spirit and what He's saying to you and truth in your life. And if it is, then you will continue to grow. It'll be a continuous growth. Also, we're told that growth is to be nurtured. It's to be fed. It's to be listened to. Plants need sunshine. They need rain. And you need God's truth and word and disciplines in order to grow as a Christian. You're just not going to fall into it. You're not just going to become a mature, deep Christian by just living and doing everything else out there except listening to the Spirit of God. God gives us this because it makes a difference. And when it's in your heart, the Bible says, thy word have I hidden in thy heart that I might not sin against you. That's not just so you don't do something terrible. It's that you'll understand the love of God and His hand in your life. and His ability to help you. Your growth has got to be nurtured. Do you expect to hear God except that you have time for Him? In your family, in your marriage, your relationship with people, do you expect to be close to someone that you care deeply about unless you have time for them? In the same way, growth has to be nurtured with God. That relationship, God wants to work in your life, but He wants you to give yourself to it. Growth is also to be protected. I think of another parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. In verse 22, it says, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." You know, that describes so much of the body of Christ and people who call themselves Christians. You know, if I go out into the community and I would ask, "Are you a Christian?" A lot of people would say yes, and many of them are sincerely Christians. A lot of people are Christians. You know, Jesus talked about a certain class of people here. They say, "Yeah, they believe in me, but you know, the weeds have grown up and choked their life so that they are not fruitful." They are not fruitful. Jesus' words is that we need to be protective of that growth. We need to weed out the things that keep us from being what God wants us to. And sometimes we have too much. We have too many toys. We have too many things that we can do with our time that keep us from being about the most important things in our lives. Be about people. Be about honoring God. And there's so many things in life. Jesus talked about, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break in and steal." Jesus said, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves break in and steal." Jesus also said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Jesus has so many deep things to say to us about protecting the faith and the mustard seed that we have. Where's your mustard seed this morning? Is it in your pocket, or do you give it to God and say, "God, I want you to help me and speak to my heart and my life"? And then finally, not only does God want us to our growth to be protected, but He also wants our growth to be fruitful. He wants our lives to be fruitful for Him. He wants people to see in us the joy of the Lord and to see in us that we love God with all that we are and we love our neighbors, ourselves. That next verse in the next part of the parable says, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it." Don't you want to be that person today? It's the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You can live your whole life and you can dress up nice and you can look pretty on the outside. But if you don't really hear God's word, it won't do you any good. So Jesus says, blessed is the man who hears the word and it goes deep into his heart and his life. Are you bearing fruit for God? God wants your fruit to be transformed. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what the kingdom of heaven is, saying, "God, let it bear fruit in me." I want to ask you this morning to look at a very simple chorus that's going to be on the screen. It's one that you've probably heard before. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Look at those words with me this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? I think my sermon has been more like a teaching sermon than preaching. I kind of feel like this morning I just wanted to talk about the kingdom of God and how important it is that you want it, that you seek it. I can't do that for you. Your spouse can't do that for you. Your parents can't do it for you. You have got to enter into the kingdom of heaven and hear Jesus. And when you do, can meet needs in your life, can change things that need to be changed, can help you in areas that you might feel kind of hopeless about. Jesus can meet our needs. I'm a firm believer that really what we need is Jesus. We need Him as our Savior. We need Him as our teacher. We need Him as our guide. Sing with me this chorus. You might know that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. We're going to sing that one more time in just a minute. I want to say to you, we have altars in our church. An altar is a place that sometimes people want to come and pray. You don't have to pray at an altar to hear God's voice. You can pray right where you're at. Or if you want to come this morning, especially if you'd like me to pray with you today, I would do that. I want to invite you to say, God, whatever you want to say in my heart and my life, I'm open to that, and I'm hearing you today. Sing with me one more time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the simplicity of your word. It doesn't have to be real complex. It doesn't have to be so far beyond us, but simply the words of Jesus that invite us to come and to trust you and to believe in you, to have faith in Jesus. Unless we are born again, we will never enter into the kingdom of God. Help us, God, to understand how important that moment of decision is, and that decision every day to listen to you. Lord God, help us where we're stubborn. Help us where we're naturally kind of have all the answers, to step back with childlike faith and ask you to help us and guide us and change us and challenge us. And Lord, that we would know that you're our greatest friend, that Jesus wants to help us. Help us to hear the heart of Jesus today, the heart of God, I pray. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless. If you're able to be here tonight, for God's not dead, welcome you to do that. Blessings.